now that heart is beating fast, and that's the rhythm I can dance to. I'm mighty glad I've got a chance to that one big heart that's beating fast. Tomorrow morning, let it rain. Tomorrow morning, let it pour. Tonight, we're in the groove together. Ain't gonna worry about stormy weather. Gonna kick old trouble out the door. Beat out old trouble on drum. Beat out old trouble on drum. Beat out old trouble on drum. And kick old trouble out the door. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. And kick old trouble out the door. Kick him 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 out the door.
Welcome to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. My name is Joseph Toscano. Henrietta is pushing the buttons and making this all possible. But unfortunately, she does not want to be identified with me, so she's not going to speak once again. One day, I will interview her. Yes, we do have a guest, William Walilo.
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Good.
My name is William Walilo.
Yeah. Willem.
Yeah.
Not William.
Whatever, like William, but people call me, most people call me like William, because that's William. A familiar name.
Right. So yeah. what are they, now, you're from West Papua, is that correct?
Yes.
How long have you been in Australia?
I think from 2023, I've been here like, I think two years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And I understand you're going to be the master, you're going to be the master of ceremonies.
Exactly.
This Sunday.
Yes.
At the West Papuan Independence Movement gathering for the first one for the year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Well, that's a dangerous position to take. You know why? Now, forget about the Indonesian government. You know why? Because if you get it wrong, the people in the office will give you a hard time.
Well, that's your best perspective, but my perspective is that's my opportunity to express myself
exactly
to the people that
right.
This is we are still exist.
Yes,
we are still struggling.
Yes,
we're still alive. As long as we are breathe, we will fight.
Right. Yeah. What year were you born?
I was born in Wamena. Well, most people call Balim Valley. It's located in Highland Province.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what year? How old are you now?
27.
Right.
Yeah.
27. So you spent the first 24 years of your life there?
And for 27? Nah. Because before that, I came here.
Yes.
It's been 2 years.
Yes.
And I have been to Jayapura. I think 1 year.
Yes.
And then came here. So right. I think maybe like around 18 years been there. Yeah.
Right. So do you have any relatives back at home in West Papua? Do you have any parents, brothers, sisters?
Yes. I do have only my mother still alive. Yeah. My brothers. I do have only brothers. I don't have sister.
You're lucky. You're a lucky man.
Yeah, exactly.
How many brothers do you have?
Well, I am the second oldest of our family, and I do have still four brothers. And my oldest brothers got married.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't think of him as a brother anymore?
Well, I don't think so, because there is something. Need to be exposed. There is something need to be. We need to case. So that's why I think to get a married, I think that's what my perspective is. Like that's part of the barrier. if you get married. So that's why, so long as you have, you are being a single, you can get something that you want.
Right, yeah. Okay. What you're saying is you have other responsibilities once you get married. Yeah.
Exactly.
So where, how many languages do you speak?
I just speak my language.
Which is what?
Which is Hubula. Hmm. Hubula, like Hubula language. That's Hubula is part of the my tribe. It's the same name, same language name. Hubula is like, there is a meaning. Hubula means that people who live in a Balim Valley near the river.
Right.
Because we usually live like small valley,
mm-hmm.
that Balim Valley. Balim means the river of flow from the west side, flow to the east, south side, goes to the mouth of river in Merauke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how many people do you think there'd be in your particular tribe?
I think, because this day, like, the government control the population by
separating them.
I don't know how to say it.
Right, just try in your own words. We've got plenty of time. Try to assimilate them into Indonesia?
Promote the to have a limited children.
Uh-huh.
To have a limited children, right. In every family,
right.
So you cannot have maybe more than five or more than three,
right.
Because it will affect of your economy. That's the reason. So that's why they control it, and they promote it to the every our tribe,
yep.
And yeah, they send them medicine for not to produce many people.
Right.
Yeah.
So would you describe it as forced sterilization, which means that women in your particular tribal group, or many women in West Papua, find they can't have the amount of children they would like to have because of government policy?
Because what I think is most of my people back in West Papua, they don't really educate it well.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think that this is a danger for our next generation.
Right.
But actually, I realized that that's a danger, because that's nearly extinction of our population. They control it. So what my perspective is, they control it, it's to reduce our population, and they transport the migration from the other part of the Indonesia, like Java, mm-hmm. like Sumatra. They put it and they migrate it. They get a free land. They get a, what else? They get a free house,
mm-hmm.
and they get supported by Jakarta, and they get all that. And meanwhile, we are get nothing.
Mm.
Yeah.
So are you finding that a lot of your traditional lands have been given away in this transmigration program?
Yes, exactly. Because, like, as I say, because of there is lack of education,
mm-hmm.
Manipulate with the certain amount of money and certain amount of promises that given to our people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they didn't do what they said, and that's really disappointed. And even they try to against with what they have to receive or what they have a right for protect their land, but they have they face with them under the gun, mm-hmm. so they could do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get back to when you were a small boy.
Mm-hmm.
What was life like for you and your brothers and your parents when you were a small boy?
Well, when I was a kid, I remember that my mother running from the Indonesian Air Force dive bombing,
mm-hmm.
because at that time, I am as a 4 years old, my brothers as a twin brothers, my mother carry me on her shoulders. We try to hide from the aircraft dive bombing us, and we really afraid of it,
mm-hmm.
and it's really hard to forget that memory, because at the same times another villages they burning out because we tried to resistance the existences of the Indonesia mm-hmm. itself. Yeah,
so these are some of your early childhood memories being bombed.
Yeah.
By the Indonesian authorities.
Yeah.
Right.
They just dive and bombing, like really nearly the ground. Yeah.
Yeah, they come right close. Yeah. All right. What was your early schooling like? Did you go to school in the early days?
Or? Yes. I used to go to school at the Catholic elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And then after graduate, I used to go to middle school. Mm. I think there is no middle school.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the elementary school education. You said it was Catholic. Were you taught in your own language, or were you forced to speak the colonizers' language in school?
Well, that's an interesting question. Because of at that time, the occupancy of Indonesia itself, they tried to promote all the language, mm-hmm. cultures, everything to be Indonesian, or we call it assimilation culture.
Yes.
So that's why they force us to be Indonesian, but we don't know who you are.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you were taught, what language were you taught in?
Indonesia.
Forced, you were forced to? You were taught in Indonesian.
Yeah.
Was there any pressure to stop talking your own language at home?
I think for our own language, like same culture or same tribe, it should be fine. But try to communicate with the Indonesians, we need to speak in Indonesian because they don't understand what we are saying.
And what was high school like, or after elementary, what was that education like?
After middle school, I tried to apply the senior high school.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on job placement,
mm-hmm.
rather than like academic.
So they're trying to teach you trades, not go down an academic path.
Yeah, because that's that's focus on a vocational.
Well, they think you're incapable of doing an intellectual work.
Yeah.
So, how difficult was it living when you're a young man?
Mm-hmm.
In that environment, how difficult is it? I mean, are there Indonesian soldiers, checkpoints everywhere? Are you a witness to violence that's occurring in the community?
Well, that's a good question, because as being a West Papuan, Indonesian military. We don't really close with them because we afraid of them, because we have been silent. We cannot express ourselves. We cannot express our what we thought. What we have to expose. It's been forced to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to expose it, you will be tortured or arrested or. At the end of that day, you will go to prison. That's it. So, or you will be dead. Yeah.
Do you know of any situations, friends or family that have found themselves arrested and tortured and imprisoned?
Yes, in 2000, because in 2000, my father, as part of, I forget the name, but we made each post through resistance and to get the independence. At that time, in my village, they all tribe get into the one village and then try to meeting every day and try to against the Indonesians by bows, because at that time we don't really have like any special tools to against them.
Right.
We rely on the traditional tools to fight with them.
Bows, arrows, spears.
Yeah. So at that time, during like that day, people tried to meeting and try to organize the how to resistance this government. And in 2000, in 2000 on October on April, police came to one of our posts and they burned it, them and my father and my friends. They arrested and they soak it in water for a night, and then they bring them to the police station. And after a couple of months, and they release. Yeah.
You said your father's not alive anymore.
Yes, but that's back to in 2000. Yes, in 2000.
Right.
Yeah,
he was alive.
Still alive.
Yeah. And what's happened to your father?
He was passed away recently.
How long ago, recently?
Yeah, it's 2021.
And what was his name?
Anton.
And what was he like as a father?
I think my father really brave with the things he thinks that that's a truth he need to fight.
And obviously he paid a price. He died young. And what's your mother's name?
Namelina.
Hubi. No, I think it's important that we recognise them. Because you're the man you are because of your parents and the people around you, obviously. So what happened to your education?
Well, from when they sent us here, I used to study tourism and travel.
Now, let's go back. You said they send you here. Who sent you here?
From local government in West Papua, but that's... This scholarship actually from we call it autonomy courses or special autonomy, but then the local government organized for education, and they provide for this scholarship only for indigenous people, but they send us only 30 students. And we came here, and in 2023 I came here and I studied tourism and travel management, but I failed 3 units, and at that time from school they told me to restart the whole course, so that's why I think it's waste time and money. So I tried to apply another school.
Yes.
And I tried to apply my CPL course, commercial pilot license. And I apply it, and I apply my visa as well, and that's good. After a couple of months, I did my training, and I did my theory, or we call it... ground school. And I did it, and after that, after a couple of months, and they sent me an invoice for next installment payment.
Yes.
And I sent to my local government to pay it, but they didn't respond it. I went to school. I tell them because there is no answer from my sponsor. I couldn't do nothing, and they gave me 3 months. And after 3 months later, I contact to my local government, but like there is no answer. So at the end of the that day, this private school I used to study in Flying, Brisbane.
Yes.
At that day, they terminated me and they sent me email, and after that, and after a couple of months stay in Brisbane, and I decided to drop all the way down from Brisbane to Melbourne.
Right, it's a long trip, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, that puts you in a very difficult situation.
Exactly.
You're in a very difficult situation. I don't think people understand how difficult it is. I mean, we've seen the seven members of the Iranian soccer team get their humanitarian visa within an hour. But sometimes it can take years. Now, obviously, are you applying for asylum?
Yes.
Are you applying for a humanitarian visa or just or a bridging visa?
For humanitarian visa.
Right. Now let's get back to life in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. You know, the ignorance amongst Australians regarding West Papua, which is only 70 kilometres from the Australian coast. 70 kilometres.
I know.
It's nothing. The ignorance about what's happening is just astounding. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening, especially in the highlands at the minute?
Well, in Holland, there is people who are trying to fight with the Tenai.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to resistance with existence of Tenai, because sometimes...
Could you say, just explain to people, who's Tenai?
Tenai, Indonesian military...
That's right, just explain, because most people wouldn't know.
Yes.
So that's the Indonesian military occupation forces.
Yeah.
Because I understand there's over 200,000... Indonesian military in West Papua.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary number.
Exactly.
Isn't there one Indonesian soldier for every West Papuan male in West Papua currently? I'm just saying there's over 200,000 Indonesian soldiers. There wouldn't be more than 250,000 West Papuan adult males, would there?
Tenai or Indonesian. I think some of them, they apply because there is no job field. So, like, they don't have another option. But those who are really tend to be a Papuan, and they know what exactly happening, because there is a, what I mean is here, there is a, something is unclear, something is, there is, Indonesia is hiding.
Yes.
And we are being isolated from the outside the world.
Yes.
And we never expose it. And some people, they don't look at that problem. So they just focus on their self, get the money.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah.
Try to survive.
Yeah.
Now, is the resistance in the highlands, armed resistance, is it?
Yes, it is an armed resistance.
And that's been going on for over 60 years, is that correct?
Yeah.
So the Indonesian authorities, with all their military might and people on the ground, actually haven't been able to quell the dissatisfaction. They haven't been able to put down the resistance.
What I'm thinking here is, like, when occupancy of Indonesians force, they sometimes use a school as a basement.
Yes.
Sometimes they use a chairs, they use a what else? Pharmacy. They use it as a base to occupy their place.
Yeah, so they're saying they're bringing in civilization.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to bring in healthcare, they're going to bring schools, they're going to build roads, but it's basically a cover to actually be able to occupy the area. Because once you bring in roads and you bring in tanks and tractors and cranes. Yeah. It's basically all over.
Like in my place,
yes,
one of district office, 10 Indonesians military came and then they made a base there.
Mm-hmm.
And like without permission, like
yes,
there is a people there.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make a permission.
Mm.
There is an owner for yeah. years.
Mm.
You came like we never invite you.
Mm. Can people move freely around West Papua, or are there military checkpoints?
And, yeah.
Just explain to us how the Indonesian military is attempting to control the situation. Because I think a lot of people think, oh, there's a bit of occasional bombing, there's a little bit of occasional torture. But it's much more than that, isn't it? You've got military installations, you've got land being stolen, mm-hmm. you've got people being brought in mm-hmm. who've got no connection. So could you explain all that to our listeners? Because most people are just not aware. They're more aware of what's happening in Gaza,
mm-hmm.
which is 10,000 kilometres away, and obviously people should be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing comes out of West Papua. Mm-hmm. There's usually no pictures. There's no programs. Mm. It's not even mentioned. The word West Papua is not mentioned in the Australian Parliament, let alone the media. So can you tell us what it's like for a West Papuan to live in West Papua under Indonesian occupation?
First answer is because outside there, they don't know, including Australia. The reason is international journalists not allowed to record in Papua.
So that's the first thing. Indonesian yeah. journalists are not allowed in West Papua.
Not allowed.
Let alone foreign journalists.
Yeah.
Right.
Not allowed. Even if you visit like only yourself, you will be asked, what are you doing here? What is the purpose of trip? How long will you be stay here? And you have to get the what we call is permission of trip in that place.
Yeah.
And then you have to report after back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's isolated because we have been like covered up from the Indonesian. And what happening actually in West Papua, it cannot separate out. And it's just stated. Even in racism in 2019, all internet access shut down.
Like, right.
Shut down. Like, bro, like everyone should know.
Yes.
But like they shut down and we cannot make a life what happening in like actually yes. what happening in West Papua, but they shut down like yes. every event like racism, like resistance of about the self-expression, they always shut down the internet because that's the main things to people would know from the outside there.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to give William a little bit of a break. He can have a bit of coffee. I'd just like for a few minutes. He's William Wa-Lilo is an asylum seeker from West Papua who's going to be the master of ceremonies on this Sunday at the West Papuan office, where we're having the first gathering for the West Papuan Independence Movement and West Papuan Rent Collective for 2026. It's at 838 Collins Street in Docklands. Just walk around the back. There's a meeting room. There's food area. There's lunch from 1 till 2. Then there's guest speakers from 2 to 3. They're going to launch a book, Jacob and the Cassowary, if I remember correctly. And then there's going to be an auction. But the whole purpose of this is, look, the West Papuan office has now been running for at least 14 years, courtesy of the West Papuan Rent Collective. These are just, I won't use the word ordinary, extraordinary Australians. We're willing to donate $1 a day to keep the West Papuan office open. We've raised more than $250,000 now over the last 14 years to keep the office open. It is really the main focus of the West Papuan independence movement, not just on the Australian continent, but in this part region of the world and as well as Europe and Africa. Obviously, as I keep saying, It's a resistance movement that's been going on for over 60 years. Over 500,000 people have been killed, either directly or indirectly, because of the Indonesian occupation. And we're getting an increasing number of West Papuan asylum seekers turning up in this country. But we hear nothing from our media and our politicians, apart from the Australian Greens, don't even mention the word West Papua. They don't want to annoy our Indonesian friends, in inverted commas. Now, what do you think the future is going to be for your people in West Papua?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Like, for me, with Indonesia, there is no future.
Right.
We're hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
We hope we have been we have been lived without Indonesia peacefully without without Andre Gan.
Mm-hmm.
So since they occupy in our land, there is a lot of people is dying, a lot of people is tortured, a lot of people is dying. A lot of people being discriminated, being
discriminated.
They want to be free.
Mm-hmm.
They are, even those who are working in with Indonesia, in small heart, they want to be free.
Mm.
They want to be free, but afraid of being killed. That's it.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
If you resist, you get killed.
Well, yeah, that's it.
Isn't this a country where if you raise the West Papuan flag,
mm-hmm.
you can be jailed for 10 years and it's not unusual to be shot on the spot?
If you get the card, you get arrested,
mm-hmm.
and you will be tortured, everything they will do,
mm-hmm.
and you will go to prison for 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
Are there many political prisoners in West Papua, in Indonesian prisons from West Papua?
Yeah, they're still there. I think in 2019,
mm-hmm.
Victor Yeimo, mm-hmm. he's one of the resistance for civilian movement,
mm-hmm.
and he tried to express, and he's one of the leaders in West Papua. We called their organization name is KNPB,
mm-hmm.
and Indonesian military and government, they accuse him, you are the actor of the racism in West Papua, and they put him in a prison.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
but they released him,
2025. Right.
Yeah.
Because of pressure.
Yeah.
Now, aren't you, as a West Papuan, aren't you an Indonesian citizen? Do you get the same rights as other Indonesians? Or when you talked about discrimination and racism, could you explain what you're talking about?
Well, I can explain it, but it's really complicated because...
That's fine, we've got plenty of time.
It's not only workplace. Workplace got to discriminate because from migrant, they came and they take over your job.
Right.
They take over the... people's indigenous people job, like who work in for government, they take it, and those only Papuans, they just got nothing. And
right.
So you can protest.
So it's difficult to get a government job. That's the first thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
How about, is there any private industry in West Papua, or is it mainly government and military run?
There is Freeport, like Freeport,
yes.
It's a large mining company in the world, but like those who are controlling, all employees comes from Java, other part of Indonesia, and maybe 10% of employees only, maybe Papuan.
Papuan, yeah. Right. And so what happens? I mean, West Papua is an extraordinarily rich country,
mm-hmm.
not just in terms of mineral resources, mm-hmm. but in terms of fishing,
yeah.
Forests, mm-hmm. the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when I was talking to you outside the studio, you were talking about using the term ecocide. What mm-hmm. do you mean by that? What's happening in West Papua?
Well, ecocide, like, see, when even like the government, like Prabowo today,
mm-hmm.
he forced the local government to open huge land in Papua, situated in Merauke,
mm-hmm.
and he tried to expand the oil,
the palm oil industry,
mm-hmm. and now local people trying to get them back, but you are nothing because they come with the gun.
Yeah.
I mean, you can express yourself, but there is no international media to record what you are trying to do.
So we're not just talking about clearing the land.
Yeah.
We're talking about clearing the people off the land.
Yeah. Like,
and then clearing the land.
I mean, like, imagine land is been there for years as a mother of earth.
Mm-hmm.
We call it like that, as a mother of earth.
Yep.
It gave us the water, free water. It gave us a free oxygen. It gave us everything you need. It gave us freely.
Mm-hmm.
The things you need to do is just preserve it. That's it. It's simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need the oil because we just take and bring home, eat with the family.
Mm.
Simple as that.
Mm.
And I mean, like, we never sell, like, if you sell the land, it's
yes.
like you sell your mother.
Yeah.
Like, you sell, like, you are losing your morality.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Now, I mean, obviously life is becoming increasingly difficult because obviously mm-hmm. the Indonesian authorities are expanding further and further. Do other Indonesians have any sympathy with what's happening in West Papua? Have you got any idea about that?
I think they do have it. Like one of our journalists, he recorded all the things, but he got the terror from the Indonesian military. And it's really difficult because if you keep exposing it, your life is in danger.
Yes.
Yeah. Even Indonesia's known as a democracy country. I think there is no guarantee about the democracy currently. It's like a more way dictator.
Isn't it true that I think it was about 15, 20 years ago, during a previous administration, that the United Nations had been given permission to send a fact-finding mission to West Papua, but they have never been allowed in. Is that correct?
Indonesia never allowed been to
allowed the West United Nations into West Papua, a fact-finding mission to see what's happening.
Yeah, I think recently during Jokowi's.
That's right. Yeah, he invited in. Yes,
they tried to allow him to entered in West Papua, but Jokowi not allowed to get in. He said, "We are fine. West Papua don't
there's
need
no problem.
Yeah, no
problem. Don't look here. Yeah. There's no problems.
Yeah,
there's no problems." It seems that a particularly difficult situation.
Yeah,
how can? What's one way that Australians can make this situation more of a talking point in this country? Because if nobody talks about it,
mm-hmm.
nobody's interested. There are no television programs, internet sites regarding what's happening. It's very difficult to blame people for their ignorance. But how do you think we can change this? I know it's a big question.
Well, I think what we can change here is for as a Papuan, we can spread, expose our, we are Papuan, we are not Indonesians.
Right.
That's the main thing, because ideology, when ideology built from your heart, it will go, and it will, you can do what you think is true, you can fight with it.
Right.
And you can share the information, what you have, what's going on in West Papua. Yeah. But for me, for like, for especially Australian government, I don't know, but some of information I got, they have a garden in, back in West Papua, they don't talk too much about the West Papua. They knew it, but because of they have a garden there,
yes,
they cannot talk.
There's just no discussion. I remember, you'll find this extraordinary, because it's like you're not aware of this.
Yeah.
There was a West Papuan European activist in Darwin who died in a bicycle accident. She was, you know, she was a very active human being. And one of the senators in Parliament wanted to do a condolence motion, which is not unusual. And in the condolence motion, the word West Papua was used, that she, you know, promoted the idea of a West Papuan independence. And the condolence motion was never read out because the senator refused to remove the word West Papua. That's how difficult things are in this country, because we don't talk about West Papua because we talk about Indonesia. We don't talk it as a separate entity. And I think it's important. I think, what do you hope will happen in the next few years? Have you got any positive hope, or do you think things will just continue as they are?
For Australian government?
No, for West Papuans themselves.
So I think, as I stated before, like, if we stay with them, we will be, like, because we will be getting worse, because they divided from 2021. Yeah, 21, they divided each provinces into six pieces.
So you got six provinces in West Papua.
Yeah.
Right.
Highland Province, Center of Province, and what else? West Province. It's six.
Six Central Province,
But, yeah, they try to, like, control really, really well by divided us.
Yes.
But it's just like, what I think is just like the way colonizer divided each.
Divide and rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Divided us.
Yeah. Does religion or spirituality play an important part in West Papuan life?
Yes. I think from some of denominations, they are really, really focal to expose the human rights violation in back in West Papua. But some of them, like Catholic Church, they don't talk.
They don't talk.
Only few pastors, they talk.
Right.
Yeah. So because in Catholic, we are not allowed to talk about the politics.
You're not allowed to talk in the church. Yes. So, what do you think will happen to West Papua's natural resources? As I said, it's an extraordinary part of the world. In many regards, West Papua is the lungs, and Papua New Guinea was the lungs of the world. It's just as important as the Amazon in terms of in terms of maintaining oxygen levels and CO2 levels. Is deforestation becoming an issue in West Papua?
It's already an issue, but the government doesn't care about the issue. They care about the money. They care about that their company will be run smoothly, because they program the their programs. All the legislations come from the Jakarta. In West Papua, they have like maybe 10% or 20% of right to do that. They say that special autonomy is you have a right, but it's they just gave us. They don't gave us like have a right to vote, have a right to advocate our custody of land, everything. They don't care about, they just give us the money, but money doesn't, like, what's the purpose of money?
Yeah.
But they still control it.
So are you saying the provincial governments in West Papua don't have any real power?
They don't have it.
No.
Honestly, they don't have it.
Well, if they had real power, they wouldn't need an Indonesian military force in West Papua, would they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, say, by some miracle, I got to West Papua, right? If I try to travel through West Papua, are there a series of checkpoints you've got to go through, army checkpoints?
Yeah. I think in especially like if you want to go like a red zone area, you will be suspicious.
So what is a red zone area?
Like in Highland, like,
yes.
Well, Yaukimo, like in Kiwiro, yes. Like in Tanjaya, like in Puncak Jaya, you will be a suspicious.
Well, these are all areas that are still, there is armed conflict.
Yeah, because if you come there, and because you are only white people live there, and then it will be a questionable, like, what are you doing here?
Yes. Yes. I don't understand how the West Papuan have continued to resist militarily in West Papua for 60 years against one of the most repressive dictatorships that occurred under the Suharto. And we now see the current president, who was basically accused of war crimes in East Timor, is now the current president. I just, obviously, you're not getting support from Russia or China or Iran or Cuba. It's a local resistance.
Yeah, I think if you are saying Russia, they are one umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's not as if you're being supported by a foreign government. The resistance there is basically a local resistance.
Basically local resistance.
Yes.
Because how do you get the, like, supporters from outside if you don't know the issue, what happening in West Papua?
Yes, yes.
You will not, you will get nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your issues haven't even been able to be raised with decolonization.
Yeah.
In the United Nations.
As you say, like, during Suharto regime.
Yes.
Every tragedy happening in West Papua, no one recorded.
No.
It's like father and mother, grandfather and mother, they just told us, they do like this, they do like, that's it.
And like you remember as a four-year-old running away, like, from the dive bombers, you know, as a four-year-old. That's a very difficult memory. What do you think is the future for you personally?
I think for future, for my personally, I think we need to aware that people need to introduce the research something bad that Indonesians cover us from outside the world, and we need to expose it, and also we need to be free from a chain.
So you will continue this struggle.
Yeah.
You will continue this struggle. And there are many West Papuans who think like you?
Do you mean
in West Papua? Yeah.
Try to...
Yeah.
Yeah, many West Papuans, they would like to try to fight.
Yes.
But some of them, those who have like really brave, they will fight. But those who are not, they will stay and keep silent. Because if you keep be a focal, you will be killed, you will be tortured, or you will be in prison. Because, like, remember, like, us as a West Papuan, honestly, we are the second class of the Indonesian citizens
as far as citizenship is concerned. I understand it's very difficult for people to go to West Papua. Is that correct?
Yes. I think if you have but like go to West Papua because they try to hide the everything from the outside world. Maybe they will be asking many questions. Yeah.
And they try and, I mean, by sending people like you out to get a further education around the world, you think they're trying to create another, a new ruling class in West Papua that is accepts Indonesian domination? They think that by giving you access to education outside of Indonesia that you'll be grateful and you'll come back and do their bidding?
Well, I think some of students, they came and they studied, but they went there, they do nothing. Like, they want to get involved, but because of it's been controlled, they don't want it. They don't want to be controlled from Jakarta. And yeah, and even those who are really like really vocal in West Papua, but after get into the system, they do nothing, and they cannot advocate what people engineers people write. They cannot.
Right.
Because they have been, how do you call it? They have been, playing with back screen.
It's an exceptionally difficult situation. But look, I think the important thing for remember Australians need to remember is that we're pivotal. We're part of this.
Yeah,
we're part of this. As I said, we're 70 kilometres from the Australian coast. I mean, it's all very well jumping up and down about what's happening in, you know, in Northern China or Russia, Ukraine or the Middle East, but the fact is that we have had a horrific situation off the shores of this country, and our governments, both Liberal National and the Labor Party, have ignored it, but not only ignored it, I could understand they ignored it, but they've actually, for short-term political gain with the Indonesian authorities, they have actually hidden the amount of what's actually going on in West Papua. And that's the tragedy, because when you try to raise it with people, most people don't even know that West Papua exists in this country. They don't know it exists.
Exactly, because like when I say I'm from West Papua, where is West Papua? So that's a long way to tell you.
Well, yeah, I'm your neighbour. I'm next door. I can wave at you and you can see me. I mean, we had an interesting protest here a few years ago where people walked, I think it was from Melbourne to Geelong, to show Australians that the distance between West Papua is a very, very, very short distance. So what are you going to do on the 15th, on Sunday the 15th? What's your role?
Well, I'll be a master of ceremony. And, yeah, I think that's like... I feel really excited and, be part of the community and express myself. And, will you be able to come?
Oh, I'll be coming. I've got to come. I have no choice. I have no choice. If I don't come, my late wife will haunt me.
Yeah.
She will haunt me.
I think that will be like... happy day for us to open our second day.
That's what 14 years now the office has been going, and I think people just think, oh, it's just a little office and it does nothing, but when you've got no pivots anywhere in the world where people, you know, you just don't, people don't even know you exist. There's a little bit of support in Holland, a little bit of support I think in London, and that's about it. I mean, you can't, we've even got the situation where we can't even bring up the question of West Papuans can't bring up the question of West Papuan independence in the decolonisation program in the United Nations. They can't even get to that stage. So it's just an extraordinary stage. Look, I would like to do a personal invitation to every one of our listeners to take the time this Sunday, which is the 15th of March, to turn up in your thousands, right? And if you do turn up in the your thousands, the kitchen people, the people who are catering for lunch will tear their hair out, but I'm sure we could sort that out. You can have lunch, then you can be there for the launch. You can meet William Walilo, personally, a very brave man. I've got a great deal of respect for you, and you're going to have a difficult life. It's not going to be easy.
It is.
Now that you're in the public realm, mm-hmm. it's a different matter. It's one thing hiding yeah. and hoping that nobody sees you. It's another thing when you're out there, out in the public. It's exceptionally difficult, especially when you've applied for a humanitarian visa. And I'm hoping the authorities will, like they have with the Iranian soccer team, make sure that you receive that humanitarian visa, because you do need it. The trouble is, in this country, anybody who's got any political agenda, usually they try to deport. Mm-hmm. So we will do everything possible to ensure you get your residence in this country, and that's
Thank
a promise.
You.
And I don't make promises lightly. So thank you very much for coming into the studio. Thank you for exposing yourself. I think it's a very brave thing to do. Only a station like Community Radio 3CR would allow this to happen. There is a West Papuan program on Community Radio 3CR. But the important thing is that we need your support to keep, that's our listener support, to keep the West Papuan office open. It's a dollar a day. It's very easy to join the Wren Collective. If you can't make it on Sunday, well, then if you leave a message on 0439 395 489, 0439 395 489 will give you the information about how to become a member of the Wren Collective. And if you're concerned about ramifications, it can be done anonymously. So thank you, Louise, for looking after William.
He's my friend.
Yeah, well.
We have a great time working together.
Yeah. And
no, we will.
And I'd like to thank all those people in the West Papuan office.
Yes.
It is a very thankless task.
It's good fun.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's still thankless. They don't come in. So hopefully lots of people will turn up on Sunday.
I am sure they'll come.
Now, so I understand the big item at the auction is going to be this new book, and we're going to have the front cover, the illustration, plus the book signed by Jacob Rumbiak, Gibson Sue, and
Michael Maloney.
You know, the book's about Jacob and independence movement. Gibson is the
author.
Michael is the illustrator.
Yes.
And I want to sell it for a grand.
A
miserable $1,000. I never fail. No, it's the illustration.
The illustration.
And that money goes to the West Papuan Rent Collective.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Henrietta, for looking after us. Now, Henrietta's going to take a lovely picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just a picture of Walilo.
I hope it's a nice photo.
It will be a nice photo. And Henrietta's going to podcast this program.
Great.
Because I'm too stupid to be able to do it, but we have people like Henrietta. Thank you, William, and we'll see you on Sunday. And thank you, Louise, for bringing William in.
No, he drove me here.
He drove you? He's got a licence.
Totally. Zoomed up here in 18 minutes.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.